But the Lord spoke through his prophet Amos. The Lord continues to speak his word today. We see that our God wants to send a warning, not to become complacent with his word, but to take his word seriously, and not to second guess his messengers when his messengers come and they begin to speak against a certain sin. Not to second guess their motive, but to see them as one sent from the Lord. To see them not as one interested in personal gain, but there for the gain of a soul for God's kingdom.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country, July 15, 2018. This message is based on Amos chapter 7, verses 10 to 15.
Permit me to read once again selected verses from Amos chapter 7 as we meditate on the word of our God. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer, go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there, and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd. I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.' Now then, hear the word of the Lord." You know, the United States had, around the turn of the 19th century, what became referred to as the Roaring Twenties. It was a time of economic boom, a time of great prosperity, and lots of people thought that good times would just keep on going. In a naive optimism, the mantra of the day was, "Blue skies from now on." Of course, not everything, not every change, not everything was an improvement, especially spiritually speaking. Not every new song or every new style was something that was good. And of course, the warning was sounded. Some people were saying it can't continue, the market's going to crash, and things are going to go downhill. But most everyone didn't want to listen. Things were going so good. And then the market crash, 1929, the Great Depression which followed, and World War II which came after that, pretty much put an end to the notion, blue skies from now on. Might this ever happen again? This naive, false security that the good times can never end? Certainly it does happen, especially spiritually. It happens and has happened and will happen again. This morning we look at the word of our God from the book of Amos, and we see how Amos dealt with the people that were struggling with this. And we see how someone can begin to drift into that sense of false security and false hopes. Well, to begin with, Amos was not somebody that you'd necessarily expect to find standing in Bethel in the northern kingdom, speaking words of destruction as a prophet. Actually, Amos was not a prophet to begin with. Amos was someone who was working with the sycamore fig trees, pruning them, and a farmer, and he worked with the herds and the goats. He was one that lived in the small town of Tekoa, just off of Jerusalem, off of Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, in the southern kingdom. And would have been someone you probably would have labeled as a redneck. Not someone you'd pin as a prophet standing in the temple in Bethel proclaiming destruction. And his message of destruction was certainly not one you'd expect to hear at this time. The year was about 750 BC, and during this time there was, in both the northern kingdom of Israel, with Bethel as its capital, and the southern kingdom of Judah, a great time of prosperity. In fact, this was a prosperity that God had foretold the people would enjoy. He'd spoken through the prophet Elijah, saying that they would have this prosperity at this time many years earlier. And actually, one of Amos's contemporaries, probably heard of him, Jonah, prophesied that during the reign of Jeroboam II, there would be a great time of prosperity in the land of Israel. So Jonah, apart from his famous swim to the land of Nineveh, also gave good news to the Israelites. And sure enough, just as Elijah and Jeremiah have foretold, during Jeremiah's reign, the kingdom expanded, and there was success, and there was enjoyment. Blue skies from now on. And you see this as you read through the book of Amos. It wasn't a time of despair or destruction. You see how the people had their summer home, they had their winter home, they had their stone mansions inlaid with ivory. They improvised on their instruments, and they had expensive perfume, and they drank their wine. This was the last of the times where you think there'd be doom or destruction. God was happy with them, right? So they reasoned. And that's where the problem really was found. See, during this great time of abundance, at the very time when things were at their best, there was spiritual decay and things were going downhill spiritually. Oh yeah, sure, the people, they worshiped the Lord. They went to their temple in Bethel in the name of the Lord God, the God who brought them out of Egypt, and they brought offerings, and they brought sacrifices, and they dedicated their songs to the Lord. But it was a false worship. They were outwardly honoring the Lord, but they were not honoring the word of the Lord. As the people lived their lives, it was full of sexual immorality, it was full of self-interest, and turning aside from God's commands. It was a time of false worship. So what did God do? Well, the Lord sent a shepherd, a farmer, from the land of Judah, and he sent him a day's journey north to Bethel to proclaim his message of warning. You know, when God sent Jonah to the Ninevites, a contemporary of Amos, the Ninevites repented. How would the Israelites respond when he sent this farmer just a day's journey north to the land of Israel, to his people? You see, he had over and over again warned them of their spiritual lapsing, of their false worship. He had warned them, and the prophet Amos speaks, that all of their worship was empty. Amos says, as we read in Amos chapter 5, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. Away! I will not listen to the music of your harps. It was a false worship, Amos proclaimed, and he decried their sins, and he decried their turning aside from the word of the Lord. So how would the people respond? We saw and we read what Amaziah the priest said. Don't say such things. Away with you. See, Amaziah reflected the attitude of the people, a false security with false worship. Things are going well. Blue skies from now on. God must love us. He's given Jeroboam military success. He's given us our great possessions. Surely God's not upset with us. And they began to equate their material prosperity with their spiritual gauge instead of where their hearts were. Isn't it that way? Isn't it when things are going the best for us, when blue skies are shining and our life seems to be going well and we have all that we need for food and life is good, isn't that when it's easiest to begin to step aside from honoring the word of the Lord? And isn't it when we're feeling that God must love us because our life is going well that we begin to more easily ignore the word of the Lord and step aside from his truths and fall into and begin to have false security regarding his word and where our hearts stand? And when someone comes along and speaks the word of the Lord, the notion can come up, well, God must not be upset. Things are going well. And so our disregard is surrounded by a false security. You know, it doesn't begin with nations that people drift aside from the word of the Lord. It begins with each and every one of our hearts individually that we begin to find false security in our lives. That's all around us, isn't it? Certainly is a real trap. What happened in the time of Amos in the kingdom of Israel is nothing new. Just look around today. There are many who serve the Lord and many who proclaim the name of the Lord but don't honor the word of the Lord. A false security has come and their hearts become content with, God must not be upset with us because we're living blessed and things are going well. And yet in the places where the name of the Lord is proclaimed, his word is set aside. There are places that have become complacent and say, well, Jesus said this and Amos said that, but this is what we think God said. Just as Amaziah doesn't acknowledge that this is what the Lord says, he says that's what Amos says. And divine inspiration is downplayed. And in places where the name of the Lord is proclaimed, the work of the Lord in creating this world powerfully by his word in 6 days is turned into accepting evolution as something that's real. And the word of the Lord is set aside. And places where the word of the Lord is proclaimed and the Lord is honored and offerings are given and many people gather, the word of the Lord is dishonored as sexual sins are taught to be acceptable. And sexual perversions, and rather than being spitting in God's face and needing repentance, are said to be something that are pleasing to God. And the word of the Lord is dishonored. And far greater, underneath what happens on the surface, the word of the Lord is dishonored in places that call on his name and yet commit crimes and support crimes even worse than the way that blacks were treated in the South in America, and that the Jews were treated in the Holocaust as they, their own mothers, kill their children for the sake of convenience or because they've been duped by blindness of sin. And they can't hear the cries of the children that they kill, of their own children who are still in the womb. And those who practice these things or support these things or say, don't speak against such things, gather with offerings to the Lord, cry out in his name. But like Amos says, God says, I despise your religious feasts. Away with your songs. You do not honor me with your heart and follow my word. It's a real trap that we can see around us in Amos's time, in our time, and that our hearts can begin to fall into too. The false security, because we are blessed, and because God has given us many wonderful things in our life, to have a false security. What does God do? He sent his word. Amos the prophet speaks, even though he was rejected. As Amaziah comes, he says, away from here, you seer of Judah, go back and earn your bread there. He thinks that Amos is only out for profit, that the Lord's prophet is only there for self-gain instead of something else. So listen to Amos's response. Amos, when confronted with that, says, I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son. I was a shepherd. I took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said, go prophesy to my people. The Amos had nothing to gain. Amos was not in it for profit that he was in Israel in some other foreign kingdom speaking the word of the Lord. Amos was not in it for self-interest, but he says he could have been out there in the field doing his thing as he had done before. And you can be sure that those who faithfully proclaim the word of the Lord and proclaim against the dangers of spiritual lapse and sin would be more comfortable in the fields, working with their goats and their grapes. But the Lord spoke through his prophet Amos. The Lord continues to speak his word today. But what do we see from this? We see that our God, one, wants to send a warning. Not to become complacent with his word, but to take his word seriously, and not to second-guess his messengers when his messengers come and they begin to speak against a certain sin. Not to second-guess their motive, but to see them as one sent from the Lord. To see them not as one interested in personal gain, but there for the gain of a soul for God's kingdom. And also for us to see that when we share the word of the Lord, sometimes it will face opposition, just as Amos faced opposition, and it will be rejected by some. But still, for our encouragement, God sent Amos. He sent the other prophets, even down to the very last generation in the northern kingdom, that they would hear his word and take heart and turn and repent. See, Amos' message is 95% warning, judgment, and law. But for those who repented, the word of the Lord he spoke was good news. He spoke of the Messiah, of the kingdom to come. And this Messiah was not built on a false security, This Messiah was built on a true promise of God for those who trusted in him. A Messiah who came to this earth to bring a kingdom that would last and a security that was real. Amos spoke of this Christ, this Messiah who would come. God does not punish every sin of every sinner, but he took that sin and put it on his Son, so that there might be life and peace, and that those who hear the word of the Lord hear this news that he has taken away our sin, and that every sin, even down to the abortion or the person who ignores the word of God, is pardoned in the name of Jesus. That those who hear the Lord's messengers have secure and full life. And yes, it is blue skies from now on for those who are in Jesus. The word of the Lord came through the prophet Amos. And we see the heart of our God reaching out to a people that needed to hear it. What do we learn from this? We learn that our God wants his people to take his word seriously, both law and gospel. And the gospel, the good news of his kingdom, is that God sends messengers, not for profit, not for personal gain, but for the gaining of souls for the kingdom of our God. May our God make this what we seek always, as we listen to his word, share his word, and proclaim his news. Hear the word of the Lord. The kingdom of our God will last forever. The kingdom of Christ is blue skies for all eternity. He has brought you into that kingdom through the Son, whom he loves. And good times will be forever. Amen.